You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. And joining us today is Dr. Joe Winke. Dr. Winke, he received his BA in English from the University of Notre Dame and an MA in English from Penn State and his PhD in English from the University of Connecticut, and he is a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post. We have Dr. Winke joining us today. He is the author of several books, and his most recent novel is called The Talk Show. Dr. Winke, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Hey, it's great to be here, Lee.
This book, Talk Show, first of all, I want to find out a little bit about the name of the host, Abraham Lincoln Jones. How did you come up with that?
Well, I wanted to capture his personality. He has a huge, outsized, outrageous personality, and he attempts to encompass the culture. And by giving him that name, Abraham Lincoln Jones, it suggests that maybe he was destined from birth for a kind of greatness. And yet he also has, for all of his larger-than-life qualities, a kind of human touch, a common touch. And so I thought Jones was a kind of fitting last name, and it kind of sums up the paradox of his personality.
Something that is mentioned in the book, and it's the host's National Emancipation Tour.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, going back to Abraham Lincoln Jones, he is, in the book, he's America's most controversial TV talk show host. He's black, he's gay, he's larger than life, he's kind of the anti-Oprah. He's very radical, but he's loved and hated at the same time. And despite this fact, though, he's very frustrated with TV as a medium. He feels that it's increasingly a debased medium with reality TV, with a lot of information but no communication. And so he's really looking for an alternative. And so one night out of the blue, he calls up Jack Winthrop, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist for the New York Times. He's had a couple of drinks, and he's in a mood to talk, and he shares with him his frustration about his inability, really, to communicate and connect with the American people through the medium of TV, and he acknowledges that he has several strikes against him. He calls himself a TV slug. He acknowledges that he's black, and despite the fact of Barack Obama's presidency, or maybe because of that, there's continuing racial polarization in the country. And he says, yes, I'm gay, but I still feel that I could connect with the American people if I did it directly. So he proposes to Winthrop, who he wants to join him as a kind of communications guru, what he calls a national emancipation tour, in which he would barnstorm across the United States and create events that he views as the ultimate talk show. And the kickoff for this whole tour turns out to be Central Park with a huge audience. So it's the idea that there's got to be some way of cutting through the psychobabble and the appearance of communication, despite the lack of the reality of communication. That's really what he is attempting to do through that emancipation tour.
Would you say that you are, or perhaps the character Abraham Lincoln Jones, is using the 13th Amendment as a way of liberating himself, the audience, and everybody else from what you just discussed earlier, the hate, the racism, everything else that's going on in the country?
Well, it's an attempt at finding common ground, and this is one of the themes of the novel. We're all so isolated these days in how we communicate, and I think, it's ironic again. The Internet is this great tool, and yet it's a source of so much misinformation. And it tends to isolate you as you become more immersed in it. For decades, people talked about how TV isolated us, but that's become, much more extreme. A lot of people are obsessed with the Internet, with social media. Does it bring us closer together, or does it isolate us more? And there's still this need, I think, for coming together, for a kind of tribal need to, almost like big rock concerts, to get together and have a common experience. And I think Jones is feeling that this is what has been lacking, that politics has failed to bring us together. And so this is his hope and this is his dream, while acknowledging in that initial conversation that, you know, it's quite likely that he's not going to succeed, because it would mean advocating for change, and change is always the hardest thing to do, whether it is in our own lives personally or in the culture.
As you mentioned, listening to the radio, watching TV, on the internet, Facebook, they get into these habits, and habit formation is very difficult to break because people, they expect certain things to be on time when they want them. And as you mentioned, when all of a sudden things are changing, the people are going, wait a minute, what is going on here?
Well, I think a lot of people feel excluded from participation. You know, we hear about how voter turnout is down oftentimes, that people who have a lot of strong views still don't vote. So participatory politics has been called into question. People are very frustrated with Congress, with the president. But there's this sense of, you know, how can I do something that's going to make a difference? And I think what the novel is really advocating is that you have to start with your own life, but it can be a dangerous thing to change. In fact, that's the point of view of the novel, is that change is the hardest thing to do, but once you thrust yourself into a new position in life, all sorts of unforeseen things can happen. And sometimes, as in the case of Winthrop and Jones, your life can even be threatened. So what I'm really trying to do in the novel is get at a lot of these cultural issues and political issues, but do it in a way that's very entertaining. I mean, the talk show is a thriller because of their decision to undertake this emancipation tour. Both Jones and Winthrop become targets of a psychopathic, racist stalker that Winthrop imagines as a man named Speck. I use the name of, you know, Richard Speck, the individual who tortured and killed 8 student nurses back in the 60s. He sort of creates a kind of fictional image of this stalker, which is what you end up doing, I think, when you have the sense that you're being followed, that you're being stalked. But it makes the sense that he has at all times, you know, that something bad can happen, which is the sense, I think, increasingly that we all have, you know, living in this world of terrorism, it becomes very personal to him. And he realizes, too, that this is occurring because of a decision that he made to partner with Jones on this emancipation tour.
Joe, talk shows have already, not always, but most recently, I guess as of 1987, when they dropped the equal time
requirement.
Yes. Yes. All of a sudden, you weren't required to have equal time. And so we see hate radio, talk show with angry hosts, angry callers, and as you mentioned, participation. A lot of people feel like they're left out in that. Talk radio has given some of these people a chance to participate.
It's given people a voice, but I think that it's complicated further the issue of what's true and what's not true. What's a fact? What's an opinion? What's a rumor? What's entirely made up? You know, it's a whole stew of all of these kind of dubious entities, factoids. And I think there's been a huge blurring of the lines. You know, what is news? What's opinion? And a lot of people, to your point, rely on talk radio. And what they're getting is a set of oftentimes very skewed opinions. They could be skewed to the right or to the left. And I think that that has, ironically, again, further isolated us. So one of the questions of the novel is, what's real communication? We're inundated with information. We're drowning in information. We're beyond the 24/7 news cycle. In our own lives, we're constantly communicating. It's almost as if we're talking here, but it's almost as if speech has become obsolete because everybody's texting one another. And so if you're a writer, and this is one of the things that I'm doing here, you're really competing with all of this. You're competing with all of these different forms of communication or faux communication, and you're trying to redirect someone's attention to what you have to say. So one of the things, and I'm using, you know, a traditional art form that's really been in decline in terms of its cultural centrality for many, many years, for decades. We're a long way off from, you know, the great American novel, Ernest Hemingway or Norman Mailer in the 50s saying that through the novel he was going to change and revolutionize the consciousness of America. But the novel itself is still a very powerful art form because you, as the writer, get to create your own world. and your own characters. So I'm using that traditional art form, but what I try to do is to reduce it down in terms of an organizational principle to the single sentence and make every single sentence have an impact on the reader's consciousness, make it be a kind of little explosion. And so there's a lot of dialogue in the book. It's very fast to read. It's very edgy. The dialogue, if you like Elmore Leonard novels, it's a little bit like that, or even Quentin Tarantino films. So I'm very aware of that level of competition. The other thing I'm competing against is really reality itself. I think we all walk around with this sense that anything terrible that we could possibly imagine could actually happen. You know, 9/11, Al-Qaeda, more recently ISIS, the videos, the horrific videos of ISIS beheading people who've been kidnapped. These images, I think, sort of terrorize our dreams, and then we wake up, and there they are, part of our reality. So, and this has been going on for a long time. It's very difficult as a writer of fiction to compete with all of that, and yet that is really what I'm trying to do in this book, The Talk Show.
Getting back to The Talk Show, as you mentioned, when you're writing something like this and you're competing against other mediums, this book opens up real fast, and it's right from the beginning. You're already like, wow, here's action. And you bring in the behind the scenes of The Talk Show also, because for people who may not be familiar with talk shows and talk radios, about the delay, caller delay, the mute button, all that stuff, because when you have an angry caller, they're not going to be tame about it, and you're going to have to be ready, a quick producer, ready to hit the buttons. When you're discussing in your book, you talk about Rush Limbaugh, Chris Matthews, and as you mentioned, you can either, if you are liberal, if you're conservative, or you're in the middle, you can find there's a station for you. And some people will say, well, because of this, you don't see anything that's on the level or the clear picture. You see only what you want to see, what you want to hear. And as you mentioned before, because of the talk show host, in many cases, you're hearing not the news in reality, but their opinion.
Yeah, and I think people sort of develop their own personal relationship with people like Rush Limbaugh or Chris Matthews or other talk show hosts. So it becomes very personal, and it can be almost an obsession. Some people just watch these programs all the time. The irony, again, is that it's a very oftentimes narrow point of view that people expose themselves to. And so there's this huge question, too, of, well, how do we really communicate? How do we find common ground? Now, there are so many different approaches to it. You mentioned some of my other books. I take a lot of different approaches. Sometimes I use satire. So I've written two religious satires. They're very controversial. They're very, very radical. They're very funny. But humor is a very anarchic kind of polarizing force. So that's one approach. Another approach is to try to create your own world through a novel, or take a literary criticism or cultural criticism approach and look at the culture through the eyes of one particular author. In this case, I wrote a book about Mailer. I have another book coming out in January called The Human Agenda, Conversations About Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity, which are a series of conversations. I mean, they're interviews, but I really try to make them, as you are here today, into conversations with people in the LGBTQ community. And these are people talking about their lives. So rather than debating issues like marriage equality, my idea there is, let's listen to people tell stories about themselves. And maybe some people who, let's say, are opposed to marriage equality but have an open mind and an open heart will hear that story and find points of empathy or understanding that they haven't found before when, you know, turning to debate or advocacy. So I'm all about testing out different ways of trying to communicate, realizing the challenge, which you've pointed out. Again, we're inundated with information, and yet the information that we get oftentimes is very narrowly defined and positioned. And so how do we break through all of that? And that's really, you know, the title, The Talk Show, is kind of ironic. We're engaged oftentimes in a show of talk, not the reality. And so the question is it possible to achieve real communication individually, and then against a larger canvas in the culture itself.
We are visiting with Joe Winke. He is the author of the recent novel, Talk Show. Joe, getting back to the novel, actually what you just said a little while ago about using humor and the satire in your books, I think one is called, I mentioned the Papal Bull.
Right, but that, You Gotta Be Kidding, which is a radical
about the Bible,
reading
right?
of the Bible. In that case, I just retell Bible stories, literally, but the premise is, if you're intelligent and educated and you read the Bible literally, maybe you get satire, not fundamentalism. And so I stick to exactly what's occurring, but it's from a satirical point of view. And they're all very short sketches, again, getting back to this whole issue of the short attention span and people being focused on social media and texting all of the time. So it's like 72 really short sketches that span the entire Bible. So that's one approach to trying to communicate. This novel is another approach. And I've been writing a lot of poetry lately, too. So last month I came out with a book called Free Air. And I've got another one coming out in January, another book of poems called Looking for Potholes. And there it's sort of like the poems, which are all very short, are like little epiphanies or little revelations that you can digest in 30 seconds. So again, different attempts, different perspectives at communicating.
Getting back to satire, Joe, in the 1970s, Norman Lear came out with a show, All in the Family. It was very controversial because the main character, played by Carol O'Connor, Archie Bunker, used satire, but it was very, it was almost like racism, bigot. You know, nobody was safe. Gays, African Americans, Hispanics, anybody was a target for him, and it was a very successful show, and the critics pointed out that the reason it was so successful is because that's the way Americans really felt about certain issues, and getting through the satire, it was a safe way to communicate it.
Well, I think you have to get to the reality of how people experience their own lives, and when you touch on that, people recognize it. And even if they don't agree with your point of view, they have to acknowledge that you're telling the truth. And so, you know, yes, humor is an anarchic energy and force, but it's also a truth-telling mechanism. And it is, I think, something that can actually change minds. I mean, the purpose of my book, on the one hand, is just entertainment. You know, have fun reading the book. But it's also, in the sense that André Gide used the term, to disturb. He said, you know, the purpose of art is to disturb. And what he meant by that is to simply move the reader from one position to another, or to take a different perspective, or to assume a different point of view, and by doing that, passing over to the point of view of another person's experience, you change. So I guess what I'm really saying is if you communicate, you're affecting change. And that's what I'm trying to do, really, as a writer.
We're visiting with Joe Winke. Dr. Winke is the author of the recent novel, Talk Show, and he is the author of several other books that we have mentioned, and we'll talk a little bit more about them in just a few minutes. But getting back to the what you were talking about, communication, and your character, Jack Winthrop, here is a reporter, print reporter, but then also he is doing what a lot of people are doing now, and that's multitasking, because not only are you a reporter for print, you're a reporter for the internet, and then you're a reporter on the air, so you have to be able to communicate to people in different ways.
And he's experimenting with, you know, doing something that probably when he started out as a journalist, he would think of as a compromise, that he's a kind of, you know, political consultant. But he senses that there's an authenticity to Abraham Lincoln Jones. And so they sort of use the analogy of that scene from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid where they're ready to be killed and they just jump off a cliff and somehow they survive in the water. And that's how they imagine change. And so yeah, he sees himself as a communicator, and he sees himself as a kind of existential risk taker, which is a Mailer idea. And Mailer's idea was really when you thrust yourself into a situation in which the end is unknown and you make a choice, that's when you can change. And so for Winthrop in the book, aligning himself with Jones is all about change. And he carries around with him, too, and I made this point earlier in our conversation, this sense of dread or paranoia that something terrible can happen. It's always been kind of abstract, but his decision to align himself with Jones makes it very personal. He's stalked. His friends are stalked. And so is Abraham Lincoln Jones. There's another area of the novel, too, that we haven't touched on, which is all of Winthrop's friends. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times reporter, but he likes to hang out at a strip club called the Tit for Tat. And when we're in the scenes at the Tit for Tat, we meet all of these characters who one could say are marginalized people, and yet they kind of form, for Winthrop, an unconventional family. And so this gets back to my point earlier about passing over to the point of view of people who seem to be different from you. One of the characters is Rita Harvey, who's a transgender ex-Catholic priest, and she is very innocent, and she's very caring. And so, you know, people who are unfamiliar with transgender women may not have had any personal experience, knowing someone who is transgender. The novel gives you an opportunity to meet someone who's like that. And another irony about Rita is she's very innocent and vulnerable, but she's a survivor. So, again, the book is trying to expose different points of view, create different dramatic situations that enable the reader to pass over to new perspectives that perhaps they haven't entertained before.
Because of the way the mediums reach out now, talk radio and what some people call hate radio has become not only controversial, but also a fear thing for the hosts. I can't recall his name right now, but the talk show host in Denver who was gunned down. And then there was the movie Play Misty for Me. And in this book, as you mentioned, there's a stalker, but Jack is not just worried about himself, but he's also afraid of the fact that they may go after his, as you mentioned, the unconventional family.
Yeah, and the character of the stalker is one that I try to make personify, you know, paranoia itself. He's a character who can seemingly enter and exit any location. He is a master of disguise. He takes on different identities. He may have been the individual who committed various crimes in New York City in the past. And to me, this is sort of a fear that we all carry around within ourselves. I know people who are prominent on, for example, on Facebook, and they are, in a sense, stalked. They're constantly having to interact with strangers who are attracted to them for one reason or another, or who are offended by them for one reason or another. And I think as all of us become more involved in social media, we encounter this. I'm fairly active on Twitter, and you get a lot of unexpected responses when you put yourself out there. So, you know, we're living in a world where it used to be kind of a distant fear that something bad could happen. Now we sort of carry that around with us every single day. And in the novel, that becomes very personal and real for Jack Winthrop, the character.
We're visiting with Joe Winke. He is the author of The Talk Show, also Papal Bull, an ex-Catholic calls out the Catholic Church. You Got to Be Kidding, a radical satire of the Bible. Mailer's America, The Human Agenda, Conversations about Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity, and that is coming out in January of next year, as Joe mentioned. Getting back to what you just mentioned about fear and paranoia and putting yourself out there, because of social media, sometimes, and we've discussed this before with other guests, Joe, the fact that the amateur will sometimes put out something before the professional because they can, and sometimes that information is wrong or can be interpreted wrong, and all of a sudden it's passed on and passed on and passed on, and before you know it, the wrong information or something fearful is spread out there that isn't so.
Yeah, there's this whole phenomenon of something going viral. You know, it could be a video. It could be a tweet that is picked up. And this is the point I was making before, that this is information. We're sort of swimming in an ocean of information. But what's true, what's false? What's news, what's opinion? What's fact, what's rumor? It's all mixed together. I mean, the Internet is an amazing resource. You know, if you Google something, you can find out information in 2 minutes. What about all the people who go crazily online for medical information? Why don't you just go to your doctor? I mean, so we're living in this world where it's kind of hard to tell sometimes what's true and what isn't. And that line has been getting increasingly blurred. Lots of people get their quote-unquote news from cable television. But if you go to Fox or you go to MSNBC, you're mostly getting opinion. And it's rather one-sided opinion. So what is the response? If you write a novel, it's create your own world and put it out there with characters interacting and let people draw their own conclusion. Have conversations like we're having here. But it's pretty difficult in the context of this chaos of overwhelming amounts of information to get to the truth. And I think that that's really what every writer faces these days, what every artist faces these days. You feel that you're competing against all of these different sources of information and communication, all of these different stories.
And with you having English degrees, it must frustrate you also because, as you mentioned, communication is the key. Get to the point, write to express, not to impress. And sometimes people will read something and without reading it at all, they just read the few words and hit share all of a sudden, and that's when it goes viral.
Well, and there's also this phenomenon, too, where people can do book reviews on Amazon. And a lot of times I'll get a review that's only like one sentence, and you get a sentence. And did this person actually even read the book, or do they just object to my point of view or what they think my point of view is? So, for example, I wrote Papal Bull, which is a satirical look at the beliefs and the practices and the history of the Catholic Church, and I was raised in the Catholic Church. And there was a one-line review on Amazon, Pure Bull. That was it. Okay, so did that person gave it one star? Now, it has lots of five-star reviews, too, but did that person actually read the book or not? So there's just an awful lot of stuff out there that we all have to deal with.
Joe, thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Dr. Joe Winke. Dr. Winke received his B.A. in English from the University of Notre Dame, an M.A. in English from Penn State, and his Ph.D. in English from the University of Connecticut. He is the author of the recent book, novel, which we've just been discussing, The Talk Show. Getting back to Facebook and all that, I guess you have a page, Joe, where they can go and find out more about the book?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I've got my own website, joewinke.org, and I'm on Twitter all the time at Joe Winke.
Joe, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thanks so much, Louie. It was really my pleasure. You have a great day.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.